Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
So, George, you were recently in a situation where you were, what, had you overdosed?
I just came to a point where I was using so heavily and I became physically addicted to heroin that I needed to go into a detox facility to physically remove myself from the situation and get off the drug.
So where are you now, and how are you feeling?
Now I'm feeling pretty good. It's been about 2 weeks since I've been out, and things are going pretty well now. I'm taking steps to forward my life, and I'm on the right track, I think.
Mark, is this a familiar story?
Yeah, I mean, I was in a similar situation about a little bit over a month ago. I was down in Denver, and, you know, I'd been on a pretty good run. I ended up overdosing, and, you know, the EMTs brought me back. And then, you know, when I got back to the Valley, I pretty much, I didn't go to a detox. I, you know, pretty much sweated it out in my bed for a few days, and then, you know, reached out for some help. You know, I'm feeling a lot better after a month. You know, I kind of back to homeostasis, and, yeah, I've started moving my life back in more, you know, productive direction.
Let's back up here. For somebody who knows nothing about using heroin, they've never seen it, heard of it, walk me through this. Is this for you like somebody might say go out and have a cocktail? Is this how you approached it?
It was nothing like a cocktail in my experience. It was just straight to the point of getting messed up, I guess.
Describe that. When you and were you using it intravenously, shooting up?
I was using it intravenously. I actually only started, snorted it for a few days and then went straight to using it intravenously.
What is the high?
The high, I'd say, from intravenous use is you get that initial rush where, like they say, your body floods with a feeling of just utter comfort and warmth. And then after that, it kind of mellows out and you go into that nod stage where you're going in and out of consciousness, but just feeling extremely comfortable in your body and extremely content is how I'd put it.
The drug in its full dose hits you immediately. So instead of feeling it come on slowly, it imagine getting hit with how drunk you would be from 12 beers in 2 seconds. So it's like this intense feeling that just rushes over you. It kind of takes over, just warm, pleasurable sensation that it's so strong that it's hard to describe. You know, personally, I find that once you start shooting it, I'm more concerned with the rush than any of the ensuing high. So I'll end, even though it's a more effective way to use, I'll end up using a lot more because I'm just trying to get that rush over and over again.
Talk about the amounts. How much are you doing, and how do you know that you've not used too much?
Well, if I were to shoot heroin right now with my tolerance back to, you know, a pretty baseline level, I mean, a tenth of a gram or like a point would be probably where I would start. Your tolerance can build up to a point. I mean, you know, I've easily heard of people using, you know, up to, you know, an 8-ball in a day, which is 3.5 grams. So that would be 35 of the baseline doses. The way you know you're not doing too much, I mean, the careful way that, you know, people would use in an ideal world is that, you know, you are getting the same stuff consistently, and that when you get a new batch, you try out a very small amount and see how much it does. In practice, you pretty much just, it's a guessing game, really. I mean, you're like, I'm pretty sure this isn't going to kill me, basically.
So in a day, how much would you use and how many times would you shoot?
In a day, I would probably right now, you know, even half a gram, if it was good, would probably get me high for most of the day. At times, you know, I've been up in the more like the 2-gram range. Now, some people will shoot up, you know, 3 times a day and just they're high for 6 hours and then they do it again. I tend to like to top off or, you know, keep adding a little bit more. I mean, I can end up shooting up, you know, 10 or 15 times in a day easily.
And then ultimately you run out, wake up the next day, and I suspect you don't feel so well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You, when you run out and you've been using for, I'd say, longer than 2 weeks, there's the withdrawals that come along, and what that feels like, it's like a really, really terrible cold, kind of like a flu, I'd say, but along with that, there's also the mental fog that you get, and you just feel really depressed, I guess, and the physical portion of it, I'd say, is your body just feels really achy. You're sweating a lot. You can get nauseous, and diarrhea comes along with that, too. So that's kind of how it is, and then you just fiend for the drug after that.
You guys are both young and good-looking guys and smart, obviously. How does one become a heroin addict?
For me, it was... I mean, I hate to play that whole gateway drug thing, but really, I mean, I started using drugs, you know, in high school, and, you know, I won't blame a particular drug or a particular situation, but I kind of found that I liked the feeling that drugs produced, and, you know, I had problems with other drugs and alcohol, and I went to a rehabilitation center, and when you're hearing people who are telling you, you know, oh, if you like snorting cocaine, you'll probably like smoking crack, or you'll probably like shooting heroin. And these are people who like the same drugs as you. And, you know, you're like, huh, well, if they like this and they say heroin and these other drugs are better, then, you know, maybe I'll just try them once. And, you know, the big delusion in your head is that you're different, and that, you know, or that I'm different and I'll be able to control it. You know, I'm not going to be some junkie. So, you know, I'll just smoke heroin this once, and, you know, I won't shoot it. And, but then it goes so well and you like it. So you're like, oh, well, I'll just do it again in a week. And then a week becomes in 2 days, and then it becomes every day, and then you're shooting it. And it's pretty, you know, it's a slippery slope.
I'm glad you use the word junkie, because I think the word junkie, conjures up this, kind of huddled in the alley in some overcoat, all skanky looking. You guys don't look anything like that. Do you call yourselves junkies?
You know, at a certain point in my life, I would definitely refer to myself as a junkie, just because that's kind of how heroin is perceived. And when you use it for long enough, like I did, you cannot function normally, and you stop keeping your hygiene up. You end up having track marks all over your arms, which is the marks from the injection sites. And I start losing a bunch of weight because I'm spending all my money on heroin instead of food, and not focusing on the core things that I need to stay healthy. So in turn, yes, I do start looking like a junkie because I start looking extremely unhealthy.
I mean, yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think at various times I've definitely looked exactly like a junkie and acted like one. But for me, I still use that term, and, you know, I think my definition of it varies from the public. You know, I mean, I think that guy slumped over in an alley who's homeless and doesn't have any money, and, you know, that's a very real reality of heroin. But I think that, you know, in my mind, you know, I can still have a house and clothes and, you know, look halfway presentable and still be a junkie because of, you know, the fact that I'll get sick in the morning if I don't put a needle in my arm.
Some people listening to this are going to say, what? These guys live in this valley, this place of skiing and the paradise and all of that. Is this a big scene? Are you two of many?
When I was looking for it every day, I would find new people that were using it. And I was actually surprised myself that so many people in this valley are using the drug.
You know, there's definitely a small subset of people that, you know, are helping each other find it and can get it. It's not like the situation in Denver where it's, you know, widely available and cheap, but if you're willing to pay a decent markup over the standard street price, and you can definitely find it here. I had much more luck using in Denver, but, you know, there's definitely a lot of people using here.
So speaking of Denver, you and I were speaking earlier about this idea of making these runs to Denver. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I mean, through out in the valley, I mean, it's kind of a remote location compared to a major city. And so, you know, it's not the business of selling heroin isn't being run by, you know, career criminals who are, you know, they're not using it themselves. They're selling it to make money. So what really tends to happen around here, from my experience, is that there's maybe, I'd say, 25 to 50 heroin addicts out here, and they're in a kind of a tight-knit group, and one of them will get, you know, some money together, maybe $1,000, and they'll go pick up a fairly large amount of heroin, and they'll bring it back and sell it at a markup to everyone, and then everyone runs out, and then someone else goes down to Denver and picks up the cheap, high-quality heroin and brings it back here again. So,
for me, it was really worth going to Denver with the extra gas money, because it's just so much cheaper there, about three times as cheap as it is in this valley. And in this valley, it's a lot harder to buy a large amount like you can in Denver. And typically there's a dealer that I have that I know will have the quality that I'm looking for there. And then I bring it back here and I don't have to worry about maybe being able to find it. And if I don't find it, then I feel sick. I just know that I have a steady supply until I run low, and then I just go back to Denver again and get more.
So we've been talking about using and that whole world. Let's talk about recovery. You guys are both on the rebound here. And you both have said you feel good now. So talk about what you're doing to make sure you don't, and I assume you don't want to go back to using, right?
No, I definitely don't want to go back to using. The biggest thing for me is, 12-step programs. That's a big part of my life right now. And I plan on it being a big part going forward. Basically for me, it's come down to the fact that, I've been resistant to that in the past, and really it's, come down to if I'm trying to stay sober on my own, within a certain period of time, it ends up seeming like a good idea to go get high, and it might not be on heroin the first night, but it will certainly be on heroin the first week. So, I'm really, I'm just trying to throw myself into, 12-step recovery and trying to, I have a large support network around here that I'm trying to stick with, people who have my best interest in mind.
Yeah, in the beginning, I'd say the most important thing is removing yourself from the situation and getting physically back to health, as is the reason that I went into detox, so that I could go through the withdrawals in a safe place and not want to cop heroin. And after that, I started working a program, and this has been the only thing that has really worked for me in the past. And along with the program, you meet many people that are sober and are basically in the same boat, that are recovering drug addicts who have been able to stay clean, and you hang out with this group of people, and it just makes it so much easier to stay clean, because you're not around people that are using or drinking, so the thought of getting high is just not there. And then on top of that, living in this valley, I go skiing and I go mountain biking, and just the natural endorphin rush is so much better than that short-lived high of heroin.
One of the things I've heard in the recovery community, which is rather large in the valley, is that there are multiple Alcoholics Anonymous meetings every day up and down the valley. But when it comes to NA, Narcotics Anonymous, there's very few. Is that a problem when you're trying to recover?
I don't think so. In my experience, there isn't a very large difference between what you actually get from either one of those. It's more of a label on them. So I think in a city like let's say Denver, where they have large groupings of both, there's a bit more of a difference. But around here, the people I see in an NA meeting are pretty much the same people I see in an AA meeting. There's a lot of, in the AA meetings around here, there are a lot of people who are there primarily for some kind of drug addiction, and you know they're just using the program for that as opposed to alcohol.
And so are you comfortable in an AA meeting as opposed to an NA meeting? Does it matter to you?
I'd say that since I know the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, I am comfortable in an AA meeting as opposed to an NA meeting, because I know that the alcoholics and drug addicts in AA are the same people that would be in both rooms. But for someone that has never been introduced to the program, I'd say that they would feel more comfortable at an NA meeting, because when I first started going to these meetings, I'd go into an AA meeting and I was like, these people are alcoholics. They have no idea what I've been through. I'm a heroin addict. I was living on the streets, and it just seemed like a totally different world. But the more you get engulfed in it, the more you realize that both alcoholics and drug addicts, it's really the same thing. Alcoholism is just an addiction to alcohol, in my opinion.
So what's the most important thing in your recovery? I think what I've heard is you got to want it. You got to really want it. No one else can tell you, hey, get off heroin.
I think wanting it is a key first step, because if I didn't want it, you know, obviously no one's going to stop me, you know. Treatment centers, rehabs, jails, police interaction, none of that stuff ever really had any real lasting impact on my drug use. So yeah, wanting it is important, but I know that there's a saying in, or I don't know if it's a saying, but I've heard it said many times. People say, you know, the people who want it don't get it. The people who need it don't get it. It's the people who do it. And so, like, it's more about me doing what I need to do on a daily basis. You know, getting up and getting to that meeting. Looking at myself, taking care of, you know, what I need to do to build my program, and you know, taking the steps I need to take my life in a healthy direction, because I can sit there and want it all day and do nothing and I'll end up getting high again.
Yeah, wanting it is really important, and that's the key first step. But when I was getting high, it's like my life was just an utter mess. I would still make it to work and make my bills, but besides that, my life was centered around heroin. And the key steps after initially stopping and making progress towards staying sober, I think, is to rebuild your life and find new hobbies and activities that you enjoy, like mountain biking, skiing, music. There's just so much that you can do that will just feel so much more fulfilling than pushing another shot. And I think that's really key, is just getting involved in life again and going out of that little tunnel vision of just using drugs.
So the Attorney General a couple weeks ago announced that he's beefing up Drug Enforcement Agency, DEA, resources to fight this ongoing problem of heroin. From where you sit, what do you think is the solution?
I don't like to get into it too much, because I feel like it's that drug user cliche of anti-prohibition, but you know, I think I can leave it at this, that I don't think that the DEA has ever done anything to stop anyone from getting high on heroin or any other drug, really. The price has been falling pretty consistently, and it's only getting purer. And, you know, when I can go find a $50 gram of heroin in Denver in 20 minutes, I mean, something's not working. You mentioned earlier that he's urging all emergency responders to carry Narcan, which I know has personally saved my life. So I think more along the lines of that, you know, harm reduction stuff like that, because, you know, if I was dead, I couldn't get sober, obviously. So I'm very grateful for stuff like that and like needle exchanges. And other than that, I mean, I think if more of that money could go to getting people who can't afford treatment into treatment and, you know, working on the cause of these problems as opposed to just trying to arrest drug dealers who they're just going to pop right back up again. So that's kind of my opinion.
I think that instilling the fear in the users is a start to the solution, which I think the DEA is there for. They're going to start making arrests and trying to get the drug dealers and the drug users off the street. But I think the key to having long-term success in keeping heroin out of the valley and just out of the country in general is, like Mark said, to show people that they can stay clean off the drug once they are in jail or once they're in the emergency room after an overdose, that someone goes and talks to them about going into treatment or going to a meeting and just introducing them to the world of recovery and showing them that there is a way out, that they don't have to be stuck in the world of using for the rest of their life.
Well, Mark, George, thank you for your honesty.
Not a problem at all. Pleasure.